Welcome to I Do, I Did, I'm Done, the podcast about life's challenges and how to handle them. I'm Randy Fincher. I'm a wife, mama, and a wedding planner.
And I'm Henry Fincher, and I'm a trial lawyer.
We're married.
Welcome to episode 10. We're going to talk about gay groomsmen, dentures that are loose, and a little sawed-off sumbitch.
That sounds magical.
It's good. Funny stories from the wedding world and the divorce world. It's hard to find humor in some of these things, but trust me, it's there. Randy, what's your first funny story?
Oh my gosh, I have 1,000. I will be planning my 206th wedding coming up in June. And I look back over the years of wedding planning. I've been doing it, oh dear God, since 2013. And that would be what, 11 years? I can't count. But seeing all these different types of weddings and all the different stories that I've experienced and moments, I have a few favorites. I have a personal favorite and one that was like, oh my dear God, I cannot believe this just happened.
Tell your personal favorite.
My personal favorite is I'm in Nashville. I'm at the Church of Incarnation. It is a Hispanic wedding. And I'm telling you, those Catholics, they can drink like a fish. And they were amazing. And all they did was dance. It was so much fun. But the bride wanted a macaroni bar. What she just loved, macaroni and cheese. And I knew she was my bride because if I can't go and eat a good meal with you, then I'm probably not going to be the best planner for you. So when she's telling me, yeah, I want to have a macaroni bar, I'm like, okay, great. So there's this girl who is, she's a guest, and she loved mac and cheese, and she was drunk.
So she loved alcohol, too.
She was lit. It's the only time that I have ever had a beverage inside a church. I was just like, oh my gosh. But anywho, she would go to the bar, the macaroni bar, and she would go fix herself a plate. Then she would go to a table and put the macaroni down. And then she was like, oh my gosh, I forgot a fork. So she would go back, go get a fork, but then she would go to a different table. And she was like, oh my gosh, have you seen my macaroni? And this is how she talked, by the way. And I'm just like standing over there. I'm like, I at first was just like watching. I was like, what's going on here? And then she goes back. She puts the fork down. Okay, table two. I kid you not, there was 32 tables, okay? So then she goes back to get another plate of macaroni, thinking, oh, somebody must have got it.
Weeble wobbling like
yeah,
the
weeble
happy
wobbling,
drunk she is.
Like barely yes. able to function in a heel and too yeah. short a dress. You shouldn't be wearing yeah. to church. And then goes to table three and puts her fork down at table two, puts the original plate of macaroni down at table one, but now she's at table three and she has macaroni. But what did she forget? She forgot her fork. So she goes back, goes to get a fork, and this goes on to 31 tables. There is macaroni, fork, and I have to excuse myself. I go to the back yeah. and I just start dying laughing with a catering company as we're sitting there eating the leftover carrot cake because we were just like, none of us have ever experienced this.
And
30 plates of mac and cheese yeah. later. So then we go and we find the groomsman who was her husband. And I told him, I was like, listen, your wife's just, she's had too much to drink. Well, guess what? He was even drunker than she was. So then when it was all said and done, as we're cleaning up, they stay and he goes to all the tables and eats every single plate of mac and cheese, threw up outside. And then I had to call him an Uber home. But that was just like the moment that I was like, is this really happening to me? Like this poor girl has made all this mac and cheese and put all these forks down. And I just was rolling in the back as I eat carrot cake laughing because I was like, this cannot be my life right now. So that's my personal
that's a good one.
Fun
that's
moment.
A good one. Okay. My turn.
Okay.
My turn. This is from the divorce world. And I like to call this one, what do you mean there's Ring cameras? Okay.
I know exactly the okay, story.
Let me tell it before
please
you start
be very
laughing.
Descriptive.
Anyway. So
paint that picture.
Okay, so we have a couple, and they had separated, and the wife had taken care of the house, and one of the things she had done is install Ring cameras, not just outside, but also inside the home. Now, it wasn't in any place. It wasn't in the bedroom. It wasn't in a bathroom. It wasn't like that. But she had it where entryways were. So
she's my people.
So it could be observed. Well, then divorce happens. And, well, the husband didn't know that there were Ring cameras there. And so I'm working the case, and I learn that she's got access to these Ring cameras and has provided me with some videos. She had full access. She didn't hack anything. Completely legal for her to have it, as far as I can tell. And there's video.
And her sweet little husband. Well, he wasn't too little. Never mind.
He wasn't little, and he wasn't too sweet. He had brought in, shall we say, alternative female companionship. Let's just say that they were doing things that one who is married to another shouldn't do, certainly shouldn't do on camera.
Or yet alone in the kitchen.
Anyway, it involved disrobing and the two people that weren't very, I had to be paid to watch this, so I endured it. But anyway, as the case went on, issue was raised, and in the deposition, of course, the man denied having any relations to anybody else. He denied seeing anything else. And then as I started bringing out pictures and asking him questions if that was him, of course, the first pictures didn't have anybody else in them. And he says, yeah, that looks like me. And I said, well, what about this one? And he's got his hands on this lady's private parts.
Her boobies.
And it goes from there. And I'm like, is this you? Is this there? And he starts getting quieter, and he's shifting around in his seat. And he looks at me, and he says, how did you get those? I said, well, you set up a security system in your house with Ring cameras. And he asked the question in all earnesty, what do you mean there's Ring cameras?
My favorite is when you told me this story.
What do you mean there's Ring cameras?
Of course, I again worked at the law office there and still do. And I was remember looking at this, and I was like, again, I'm a Star Wars freak. So in my mind, it was this man was Jabba the Hutt, and this poor woman who was
she was not Princess Leia.
She was Princess Leia with the lights off. She bless her heart.
Jabba the Hutty or whatever.
She
the
makes
feminine
me
is.
Think.
Yes.
There was this computer game that we would play as kids that would have this granny, all the rage back in like fourth grade, fifth grade. And it was on the computer, and the song was, can your boobs hang low? Can they wobble? Can you throw? Can you tie them in a knot? Can you tie them in a bow? And every time that you tell this story, that's what I think of.
That's what you see.
Because I'm just like, oh my gosh, this woman's just whipping out her saggy tits that touch her belly button. And this man looks like Jabba the Hutt.
Yeah.
So let's put that picture in everybody's mind for a moment.
Things that make you go, all right, your turn. Funny story.
This is probably the best funny story other than Mac and Cheese Girl. It was just one of those things you had to be there. Finding out your brother's gay at your wedding.
Not your brother.
Not this my is, brother. No, yeah. no, my brother. No.
No, let's be clear.
What is
about
it that you
that.
Say yeah. that your dad would say? Shoo, wanna suck a Peter? You know, but that's just was your dad. But there's nothing against anybody that's gay. I have tons of friends that are gay and absolutely love them. But planning this wedding, I was in Nashville. And this particular person had a bridal suite room, and so I was taking the bride's and the groom's stuff to their room, getting it ready, like was gonna like turn down their bed, just make it look really nice for them. And I walk in, and there is the bride's brother, who's a groomsman with another groomsman, and they are having sexual relations, as Bill Clinton would say, on the bed. And they're drunk. And I'm like, oh my gosh, oh Lord. And I was just like, I said, oh, you gotta go, you gotta go, your sister's coming. He goes, she doesn't know I suck dick. And I'll never forget him telling me that.
Is he the one that told you about the podcast?
No, he's not the one who told me about that guy. Anyways, I found that guy on my own. Thank you very much. If anybody's wondering, it's a podcast. I need to link it in our show notes.
Yeah, you really
anyways,
do.
About, you know,
sorry,
blowjobs.
Go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt.
But
Actually,
I broke out in hives and I was like, I have 5 minutes to like strip this bed and get it cleaned. And it was, thank God, it was the only thing that was messed up was the bed. Thank God. Because I thought there's clothes and I looked at them both. They stood up. It's the first time in my mind, it's the first time in my life I ever saw two dicks at the same time. And I just was like, oh my gosh, what's going on? And I said, you all have got to get, and I literally like, I've just, one of them, the partner, he didn't want to leave. He was like, no, I picked him up. And he's naked. I pick him up and I throw him out of the back of the room. And I'm like, you've got to go. And so the bride and groom, they come in and they're like, hey, you know, is everything okay? I was like, listen, there's a leak in this bathroom. But you know what? I'm Gary Strong's daughter. I can fix it for you. You don't worry about it. So I literally go in the bathroom and I take a shower because I was like, I've touched the sky and I'm a germaphobe and I don't know what's on me. And so I was like, hey, listen, and I come out like I took a whole bath, as my mama would say, wash my hair, wash my body. And it took me about 3 minutes. And they're like, oh my God, Randy, that leak must have been bad. I was like, yeah, guys, I'm so sorry. I just got soaking wet, but I fixed it. Y'all don't worry about it. But it was traumatizing. But now he's come out and good for him. Yeah. And you know what? I'm glad they finally know.
Well,
and
he's got his own
so
bed
glad
now.
I could save the wedding night, because I think the bride would have, you know, you don't want anything to ruin your big day. You want your husband's.
You told my story on my daddy, and I have to explain that because people be like, what the hell was she talking about? My father, World War II and Korean War combat veteran, held the views of his generation regarding alternative orientations. And in later life, we'd sit on the porch and we'd talk about a wide range of topics. And sometimes it would come up about sexual orientation. And my father, he was a very good-natured man, and he really did love just about everybody, was completely puzzled by this choice, and he would express it in a way that I couldn't help but laugh about. In his nice, soft Southern Alabama drawl, he'd say, "Shoo, wanna suck a pita when there's all these pretty women? I don't understand it, boy. I just don't understand it." So that's the story from my daddy that we'd tell. But now, I got a funny story, and it's the stripper plea.
Yummy.
Back when I used to do criminal defense, this many years ago, I represented a fella who got picked up. He was accused of having 60 pounds of marijuana in the back of his car.
Sounds like he'd be a fun friend for some folks.
Now, the reason he was accused is because he did have 60 pounds of marijuana in the back of his car. That was a bit of a problem. And so we negotiated a plea deal. He was traveling with his girlfriend, who was employed as a stripper at a club over in, I think, in Charlotte. It was North Carolina. I remember that. And so I represented both of them. Don't normally do that, but it was a plea. He was busted. There was no grounds for a suppression motion. It was just kind of, hey, you know, give us a deal. And it was her first time. She got what's called diversion, which means even though she was traveling with a guy, she could have been charged with awful stuff. She was said, go and sin no more. He ended up with a felony and a sentence. But as she's giving her plea, now this is in front of a man I deeply respect and admire and like, Judge Leon Burns. He's retired now. He's a very tall, courtly, supremely gentlemanly man. And Judge Burns also has a wonderful Southern drawl.
That would get me.
Oh, a deep voice. I mean, he's got a great voice. He makes Shelby Foote look like he can't narrate anything. People of my generation know who that is. Anyway,
yeah, I'm like, who is that?
He had a great drawl too, but Leon's is better. Anyway, the judge is going through the motions. You have to ask a lot of questions when you're taking a guilty plea. And so he says, oh, Miss, whatever her name was, Miss Smith, your date of birth is this, and your address is this, and that. Are you employed, ma'am? And she perks up and she says, yes, I am. And the judge is looking down his list of questions that he goes through, and he's not really looking out at my client. There's a room full of people behind us, lawyers filling the place. It was docket day, which is packed in criminal court. Says, so you employed? Well, that's good, ma'am. And where are you employed? And she said the name of the place, you know, like the Blue Oyster or whatever it was. I don't know, someplace. She said, I work at the Blue Oyster. Oh, I'm not familiar with that establishment. And he says, and he looks up and he says, ma'am, what do you do at the Blue Oyster? And this woman strikes a pose, sticks her ample bosom out and her hand up in the air and her leg out. And she says, I'm an entertainer. And the whole room's like, sitting there trying not to laugh. I'm just sitting there like, oh my God, she's doing this. And Judge Burns, he sits there a second and it dawns on him.
She's a stripper, Lord Almighty.
Oh, that's probably what went through his head. But he says, well, Mr. Fincher, everything seems to be in order. Is there anything else we need to? And his face starts getting red. And he says, is there anything else we need to cover? And I said, I don't think so, Your Honor. And the prosecutor's trying not to laugh. And Mr. DA, is there anything? General, is there anything we need to do? No, Judge, there's not. And her diversion is approved. And as far as I know, she went and sinned no more. So
bless
I don't
her
know.
Heart.
Or she might have gotten arrested the next week. I don't know. I never heard from him again.
Thank God.
Yeah.
You better not have.
Stripper, please. Well, you know, you were 8 when that was going on. Yeah. So don't worry about it.
I'm not mad.
Yeah. Your turn.
She's probably old and wrinkly, like a Jabba the Hutt's wife or girlfriend, whatever it is.
Bless her heart, I hope not.
Well, another, these are like two little quick stories. One was, I had a bride who wanted this cake that was like had something hard in the middle of it. And I always tell my clients, if you are going to have something for your guest, you need to cater to your guest. Well, this bride didn't want to listen. She was like, I've got to have this cake to be filled with chunks of strawberry. I think that's what it was. And it was, you know, when you leave strawberry in the refrigerator, especially if it's in the middle of the cake, it's going to harden up a little bit. And so her grandmother absolutely loved strawberries, but bless old Susie Q's heart, she had a hard time eating the cake. So there are pictures of this, by the way. I'll have to dig them up. There is a photo of me watching this grandma. I don't think there was a video because that wasn't like the cool thing at the time. It wasn't the vibe, as they would say.
The aesthetic.
But this woman takes her teeth. She has dentures, okay?
Her teeth.
Takes her teeth out. And I'm germaphobe over here. I'm like, oh God, she's taking out her teeth. And she takes her cake. And she looks. Now, she gives me her teeth. She just does this.
The things the wedding planner
and so
didn't
I'm,
plan
I
for.
I didn't know what to do. I didn't want her to drop them. So I just go here for her teeth. She takes the cake and she mashes it up. Gum in this cake. She puts it around like that. And I'm like, I have got teeth in my hand. And I said, ma'am. She goes, don't go anywhere. Stay right here. And just sitting here like, you got to listen to Granny, you know. Yeah. And I'm like, let me go get you a napkin. I don't think it's sanitary that I hold your teeth. She's like, oh, honey, it's fine. I've dropped them 3 times tonight. And I remember being like,
get Granny some tequila so she can sterilize them.
Yeah. I couldn't believe, like, I'm holding teeth in my hands. And then just another quick one real quick is that, oh, goodness, I'm trying to think of all the top ones that I love so much. I would probably have to say that I had a tornado at a wedding one time. It was a mild tornado. And to the point that it was near my road, actually. And I made my mom drive in the middle of the night towards the tornado to go and check on my cat. His name was, I had to give him away, but his name was Seely McAllister, and he was very regal. He was a tuxedo cat. And my mom's like, Randy, you do know that there's a tornado and you're wanting me to drive into the storm. I'm like, yeah, you'll be fine. That's what she always says to me. You'll be fine.
You'll be fine.
And so
it's
driving.
It's just F1. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, no big deal. She's driving into the storm. And my cat was okay. She said he was freaking out a little bit. But then as the night progresses, the groom had too much to drink. And so he was so drunk that we had to call a doctor and we had to get an IV for him. And he was going to dance with his wife. He really wanted to do that. And so the mother of the groom stepped in. mother of the grooms. Most of the time I love them, but this one I just...
She wasn't helpful.
No, I wouldn't piss on her if she was on fire.
Anyway.
And so she came up and was like, my son's not dancing. You know, he's just too sick. And my bride said, he's my husband. We're dancing. This is his choice. Get out of the way.
Yeah.
And his first dance is like this with his arm up, holding on to the IV in his tuxedo pocket. And now, as the years have gone by, when I've seen them out, he's like, I don't even remember that. Thank God I've got it on tape.
So he
but,
can watch it. Yeah.
You know, the moment happened visible. And yeah. It wasn't visible.
Yeah.
But when people are like, how do you handle with all these issues? How do you, I always say, number one, I bring an emergency box kit. So I have everything that I need most of the time, or I can call somebody. But that was a moment I'll never forget. And it was just, it was really good also because the bride finally like grew a backbone and stood up to the mom, yeah. You know? So that was a good outcome.
Okay. Now my turn. And the one I promise, sawed off some bitch. So it's, I had a case many years ago and it was cross orders of protection. It was up in Cumberland County and it was a husband and a wife. And they were very different physical specimens. My client was a short, skinny person. I mean, probably maybe 5'2". He was precious. He was short. His wife was bigger than me in every way. She was probably at least 6'1", 6'2". She was built like a Samoan. She was very large.
Was she related to Dwayne Johnson?
Broad and beam, as my grandma would have said.
Big boned, as my poppy would say.
Yeah, she was a healthy woman. She was a healthy woman. So she was a hell of a lot bigger than this guy. And there's cross orders of protection. Now, back when this was going on, the DA's office was still involved in pursuing. They would prosecute orders of protection, the first one that was filed. So she had one against my guy. My guy had gotten one and alleged in vague legalistic language without a lot of facts in there, but it was enough to get the order of protection that he was afraid for his life. The DA, good guy, but he was very skeptical that a man would be afraid of a woman. And
well,
that,
Lord,
and he,
and the why description would, alone.
Well, but he, you know, I don't know that he'd seen the guy before court. But anyway, we're in there, and he's got a case to do. So he's trying to get the order of protection for the woman, and I'm trying to at least get it dismissed against my guy, if not get one against her. And so she testifies that they fought and that he hit her. And,
did he have the job?
And
sorry.
You know, he would have had to stand on a step stool to hit her in the face. He would have. But she said he hit her in the boobs, which is probably about as high as he could reach, honestly. I mean, they yeah. Anyway, so she establishes what they call a prima facie case. It's enough to do. We decide we're going to try it. So I put my guy out there, and I get the testimony. And he testifies to the elements and to a mutual combat. He was defending himself, and he was afraid of her, and that he was afraid of her because she was going to kill him. And I sit down, and I'm like, I've established the elements. That's all I got to do. Well, cross-examination begins. The DA is going to get this guy, right? And he goes up there, Mr. So-and-so. He goes through all this stuff. And first he tries to establish that he's a big, strapping guy, which he's not. The judge is kind of looking at him like he's from outer space. DA changes tactics. And he says, well, you weren't afraid of her. You weren't afraid of your wife. He says, I most definitely was. And he says, she wasn't going to kill you. She says, well, she said she was. And he says, what did you? And he violated a rule of cross-examination, which is never ask a question that you don't know the answer to. And he says, well, what did she say to make you think she was going to kill you? He said, well, after she picked up the butcher knife and said, I'm going to kill you, you sawed off some bitch, I thought she might kill me. And there's this silence. And I start going laughing. Then the judge starts laughing. The woman starts laughing. The DA's not laughing. My guy's not laughing. And the DA turns around to her and shrugs his shoulder like, did this happen? And she turns red and she nods her head. Yeah. Yes. And the DA pauses for about 2 seconds and says, "We dismiss, Your Honor." And it went away. So, yeah.
Think about that, though. You just being a little short, tiny thing. Hoss cat of the wife going to come and get you.
He lived. I mean, bless his heart. I don't know whatever happened to him. Yeah, I think he would be afraid. But that was, it was a funny day. And because nobody, no sawed-off son of a bitches got hurt in the production of this podcast. I can promise that. So, anyway, maybe one more. Have we got family pets are forever? Let me tell this one. This is a good one. Couples getting divorced. We're going through the list of things. I've stolen this story from a friend of mine, but I'm not going to name him just because I think it'll piss him off. So, and he's a good friend. So that's how guys are. So we're going through the stuff. When you moved out, you took your clothes. Yes. You took your shoes. Yes. You took your jewelry. Yes. You took the television from the living room. Yes. You took the family dog. Yes. Ma'am, how long had the dog been dead? 6 months.
She dug up the dog.
She dug up the damn dog from the backyard and carted it off.
You need to send her to Dr. Carted Averett. It off.
I think Averett would refer her to a more specialized provider in the nutty. Because that woman was, she dug up the dog.
Well, I think with all these stories.
Family pets are forever.
It just lets everybody know that we are experts in our field. We know how to roll with the punches. We know how to solve problems. We know what to do. We know we laugh with you. Sometimes we may laugh at you.
Not to your face.
But not to your face, of course.
Yeah. These are all a long time ago. I'd say they're probably laughing about it too.
Yeah. These are just ways.
Or they blocked it either way.
These are just stories that, that we hope have made people laugh and smile. But I just can't believe that we have all these wonderful stories to tell.
Well, I hope they've been entertaining for everybody. So we've come to the end of another podcast. This one ran a little bit long. Thanks for hanging in there and listening to us. If you liked what you heard, please like us. Give us 5 stars. Review us. Tell your friends. Tell your neighbors. Post it on social media. Email us. Check out our website, which is?
IDidI'mDonePodcast.com.
Boom. And tell us, ask questions, give us ideas, whatever you need. If you didn't like what you hear, if you just think that these stories were lame, and how dare we say something about these poor people, hey, don't tell nobody nothing.